podcast of CBS This Morning will begin after this short break.
The all-new 2018 Toyota Camry is about the furthest thing from a Camry you can imagine.
Get ready to love it for all the wrong reasons.
Love lesson 23, how to park far, far away.
I can't see you, baby.
With its sculpted rocker panels, available integrated rear spoiler, and 19-inch alloy wheels, you're going to want to keep your Camry looking showroom fine. So pass all those close-in spaces and drive to your time zone away.
Door dings bad, exercise good.
The all-new 2018 Toyota Camry. You're going to love it.
For all the wrong reasons, baby.
Toyota, let's go places.
Friday, November 3rd, 2017. We're glad it's Friday. I'm Gail King.
I'm Nora O'Donnell.
And I'm Vladimir Dutier. Welcome to the podcast of CBS This Morning.
So, Kira, you produced a CBS This Morning Note to Self with the football player Ryan O'Callaghan. First of all, what is a Note to Self?
So the idea behind the Note to Self series is you find somebody that's had an interesting life, they might be famous or not, and you ask them to write a note to their younger self. So they can pick any age. It can be when they're 10, it could be when they're 20. And the idea is to look back and give the younger version of their self some advice, things they've learned throughout their career, and also talk about some of the things that will happen to them in the future. And so we've done a number of them since the series first launched. I mean, Vice President Biden, Oprah, Chuck Close, Art Garfunkel. We've done, you know, other people whose maybe names you don't know but have really interesting stories. And Ryan is the most recent one that is airing.
So do you give them, when the folks who do these note to selves, do you give them any guidance, or is it just write a letter to your younger self based on all the things that you've experienced in your life?
So it's still a TV show. So yeah, they get some guidance.
And you're still a producer.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea is we ask them to make it about 500 words. We send them previous examples so they can see. You know, we tell them that more specifics are better. Think about what you have pictures or video of, just because it's still a visual medium. And usually the way it works is they'll submit a draft and then we go back and forth a little bit with some suggested changes or edits, whether it's, you know, it needs to be longer or shorter, or can you elaborate on this more? You know, for some people they're writers and some people they're not. And, you know, Ryan, he's not professionally a writer, but he was very honest and he did a really good job of writing. And so with him, it was more digging into certain things more and cutting other sections down. So that, you know, at the end, you feel like you have kind of a complete sense of who he was. I mean, the other thing is, he's not famous. I mean, he was a professional football player, but he's not a household name like Biden or Oprah, where people are familiar with the story. So it's also more important that a letter like that has more biographical information. So certain people, you know, you try to do that. And you can also add additional stuff in edit that isn't in the letter, but you want to make sure people walk away knowing who this person is and what their story is.
You know, one of the things I love about Note to Self, and I'm sure that's why it's such a popular series, because I think everybody likes it, is the fact that it's not just famous people. One of the most moving ones I ever saw was the one with a CBS employee, a CBS News, CBS This Morning employee, Fountain, our sound engineer. He delivered, I was bawling throughout the entire thing because it was such a beautiful, moving story. He works here, right?
Yeah.
But then you'll have like John Lewis, who's, you know, a person who has such historical significance in our country that moves you too. But it's just the little details that somebody will have in this note to self that makes it really interesting.
Yeah, I think anyone's story can be really interesting if it's told the right way. And especially, I mean, the most successful note to selves, once they're done, are the ones that are introspective and self-reflective and honest and sort of open, because, you know, people connect with for especially for a lot of the famous people, you're not going to connect with Oprah because you are also a billionaire, or with John Lewis because you were also a civil rights leader who knew, you know, Martin Luther King. But you might connect with some of the personal things they share, advice to the younger self, feeling insecure, or fighting for justice, or whatever it is. So those, you know, those are the things that audience can connect with, and that's, you know, when I think they tend to be most successful.
And that's why this one is so interesting and so illuminating, because we don't know who Ryan O'Callaghan is, but we learn a lot about him, and we learn a lot about his struggles. And he has one that in particular that a lot of people would not connect with professional football. So tell us a little bit about him.
So earlier this summer, Ryan O'Callaghan, who was an offensive lineman in the NFL, he played for the Patriots. He went to a Super Bowl. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs. He had previously played at Berkeley. He came out in an article with a, you know, well-known news outlet, Outsports, and told his story about being a gay football player. And not just that, but hiding it his entire life. And, you know, basically telling himself that his only reason for living, which was football because it was his cover, when that ended, he was going to commit suicide. And he had a plan. He had a cabin. He had written letters. And luckily, something happened in the, you know, intervening. Basically, he went down a downward spiral. He started abusing drugs. And luckily, someone noticed and got him help. And as a result, he was convinced to tell someone. And so he told one of the managers or like trainers on the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, he had sort of emailed him and said, oh, can we talk? I have a problem I want to discuss with you. He told him, and the guy said, okay. And he was like, what was that problem you wanted to talk to me about? And Ryan was sort of, you know, surprised and didn't understand that it wasn't a big deal. And the guy said, well, you know, listen, I've counseled other gay football players in the NFL. And I think his jaw probably dropped from what I understand, because he was basically like, there are other people that are going through this, because he just felt so alone and isolated. Luckily what happened was, you know, talking about it, learning about other people like that, getting help, you know, he didn't take his own life, and now he's, you know, living openly. He has a boyfriend, and he's gotten help. He's, you know, gotten help with his substance abuse problems, and, you know, things are going a lot better. But, you know, for so many years he suffered in silence, and football was, you know, the one thing he could focus on. It was his cover, because he said nobody would have guessed that me, this huge offensive lineman, he gained all this weight, he started chewing tobacco, would be gay. And that was all that mattered to him, making sure no one knew.
You're going to invest all of your energy and time into football, so people refrain from asking your least favorite question, where's your girlfriend? You're going to start chewing tobacco in order to look more straight. Don't do it.
What I felt like listening and watching Your Note to Self was specifically when the first time he mentioned suicide, and it made me think, wow, he's literally writing a letter to his younger self. And to anybody who's listening to this who might find themselves in the same situation, that I know what you're thinking about doing. I know that you're thinking about killing yourself. And his refrain throughout the Note to Self is breathe. Then he goes, really, breathe. Because sometimes for some people that may sound as like a simplistic fix, but clearly that's what he thinks, at least in part, got him through, or got him to the point where he is now living a happy life.
And like, hold on, because yeah, hold on, yeah. You might think that you're alone or the only one. And I mean, I realize it's 2017 and he's in his early 30s. So, you know, he's a millennial, and some people think that for millennials, it's much, much easier to be gay. But where he's from sort of a rural part of California. You know, he grew up playing football. It wasn't an obvious, easy thing to just admit to anyone, himself included.
You felt discouraged and even shunned by friends and family your whole life. Hearing the word fag out of the mouth of your loved ones and knowing that they're talking about you.
He talks about living in fear. He talks about hearing family and friends using the word fag, which he knew was in reference to him. So I know it's hard. I also, when you first told me that you were working on this story, I was a little surprised that somebody who's fairly young would realize that there are more gay people out there, but he really didn't. At least not in football.
Exactly. And I think, you know, maybe where he's from, he didn't know a lot of people who were out, especially at a young age. And then I think, you know, he ends up in football. I mean, there are no, as far as I know, there are no out actively or active NFL players currently. So it's not like, you know, he looked around and was like, oh, like, look at all the other out, you know, NFL players. And generally in sports, in professional sports, there are not very many examples either.
Right.
Most of the time people come out after they're done playing. So anyway, I think that's part of it. And, you know, also you can imagine the psychological impact it had on him. And so it's not necessarily, you know, he's terrified. And the idea of coming out and having everything he knows, all his entire world go away because he doesn't know how people are going to react. And then, you know, finding out that when he did tell people, I mean, he played in college, his quarterback was Aaron Rodgers, who's a famous NFL quarterback. He told him and he was really supportive. And, you know, he, Tom Brady has, you know, said supportive things since he came out. So there was support, but you can imagine when you're on the other side of it, not knowing how people are going to react. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that would not have been as supportive, or there may have been, you just don't know. So he luckily is in a really good place now. He has a lot of physical injuries from his time playing, but, you know, he's not abusing drugs. He's has this boyfriend and things are going well for him, which is really nice to hear.
Yeah. At the very end, he sort of talks about that, you know, he found somebody who likes him. And I thought it was, you know, in a way it was cute, and in a way it was horrifying when he said, you know, you're going to gain all this weight so that people don't ask you why you don't have a girlfriend. In other words, in his mind, being fat equaled being unattractive, and that was a way to cover up whether or not, you know, people would wonder why a rich football player wouldn't have, you know, a girlfriend at his side.
I mean, he went to like really crazy lengths to cover up. He talked about begging the ex-girlfriend of a college teammate to come to some event for it with him when he was at the Patriots. Wow. And just say like, oh, I just need somebody there, you know, and he, all the while not wanting anyone to know. I mean, he had this thing he did after practice. He would go and immediately drink like tons of coffee, and he did it because he didn't want to be in the locker room with everyone else when they were changing, because it made him uncomfortable. He was worried somebody was going to notice something or, you know, whatever. And so when he finally came out, he said something like, did you all really think I love coffee that much? Like, I just couldn't, you know, it was something I did to try and navigate this situation. And he, all sorts of things. I mean, he started chewing tobacco, knowing that it's not good for you.
Not good for you, but and just like, because, so what's interesting about this, about Ryan is, and again, it sort of represents a study in contrast, because we're living in 2017 and he still has these sort of old images or old stereotypes. Even as a gay man, the stereotypical macho man is a football player, you know, who's big and burly and, you know, right. When obviously gay people come in all stripes and it's just, we're humans. Everybody is human. And I just think it's interesting that he imagines that if I chew tobacco, no one will know that I'm gay, when that isn't an indicator of anything other than that you're probably doing yourself, your lungs or your lips or whatever, some damage.
Well, I think it just goes to show he was really isolated and alone and, you know, suffering from depression and all sorts of other things. And I mean, you feel really bad for him. Honestly, when he was writing the letter, when I first got the first copy of the letter, I thought, oh my gosh, this is incredibly revealing.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you decided to cut out that you thought that you can talk about here?
The only thing we cut out were, you know, basically for time. There wasn't anything that was sort of not relevant or felt sort of on a side note. We had him add in a few things. I took out a few names, mostly because, you know, we didn't have pictures of them. But I know when he was reading it, it's one thing to write it and send it to somebody in an email, but then you have to sit in a room with three strangers, me, a cameraman, and an audio person, both of whom are male. I'm obviously a woman, and read it. And that must be incredibly difficult. I mean, I probably could never do that. So I gave him a lot of credit, and I was very grateful that my crew was also incredibly supportive. I mean, after the first run through of it, they said, wow, did you ride that? That's, you know, good for you, man. That's really impressive. And you could just see he sort of relaxed a little bit. So it's not just writing it. It's also, you know, saying it in front of people and then knowing it's going to air for millions of people. That, you know, you give people a lot of credit because this is a particularly revealing note to self. Some people's stories aren't as, I'm working on another one right now who this person has an amazing story, but they haven't gone through the same sort of hardships, at least that they're willing to share. And so, you know, I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, because what also is fascinating about this particular note to self is as he's reading, as I watch the piece and as he's reading it at the very end, and this probably won't air, but at the very end, after he's done, he pauses and then he sort of like shrinks and sort of collapses, and you could tell he's about to cry, but it's a good minute after, because I was watching the raw feed, right, or the raw tape, and I just thought, this must have been really hard.
He was really nervous, but I thought he did a really good job. I mean, he's also not used to speaking on camera or any of those things. I mean, we had tons of lights. We shot the letter itself in the basement gym at Berkeley. It's a beautiful facility. It's a huge room, and we had the whole thing to ourselves. People were coming, going a little bit, but and you know, he wasn't out at Berkeley when he, you know, was a student there when he played there. And then we also shot in the stadium. So, I can imagine that, you know, it's like you're sort of almost giving your deepest, darkest secrets out to the abyss to this huge room. Must be very intimidating.
And what do you, as a producer in producing these pieces, and not just with Ryan, but with others, there are some people, like you said, Oprah, her whole life is more or less, at least her public life, has played out in front of cameras and, you know, on television shows for many, many years. And most people can probably fill in the details of her life once she became big, right? I mean, a lot of people may not know her early childhood. But Kesha, for example, she did one for us recently. People pretty much know Kesha's story. John Lewis, who is an amazing figure, we all have seen the news reports of him on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. We've all seen the pictures of him getting his head cracked open. So in other words, like you said, it's something that is very personal. And so how much of a challenge is it for you in the edit bay to make somebody's very moving story on paper come to life on television?
Well, it can be very challenging. So with something like this, he had a decent amount of photos from growing up and different elements that we could use. He played at Berkeley, so there's video of that. He played in the NFL, there's video of that, but it's incredibly expensive to license, so we sort of worked around that. But you also have to get creative. So one of the nice things about the note to self is they're shot a different way, they're put together a different way than a typical news piece. And so you also were, you know, thinking of it in a more creative light. And it's not, you know, typically when you put together a news piece, it's what are they talking about? Show the picture. Or when you're writing it, write to the pictures you have. And this is a little bit different, and you can get more creative. And so with him, we had to. I mean, we shot a bunch of B-roll, just sort of, you know, things, him doing things while we were at Berkeley. And we used that to cover lines that maybe we didn't have video or photos of him chewing tobacco or abusing drugs. But we found other ways to, you know, put the piece together. And, you know, we can do that, and we can use, you know, graphics with text and other things like that. And it's actually really, you know, fun as a producer to do something that's really creative. And it also pushes you. And, you know, luckily for the Note to Self series, they're all edited by an outstanding editor here. And, you know, he helped create the series, so he really knows kind of the look and the feel and has a lot of really great ideas. So, yeah, I mean, in that sense, you can't really go wrong. I mean, the note to self on like a normal piece is like almost a blank canvas. It's a letter. And there's certain things you have to show, because if he's talking about a particular football game, like you need that football game, or it probably shouldn't be in the letter. If he's talking more generally, okay. But there's also plenty of room for you to insert things that help tell their story that maybe they didn't specifically talk to, or they talked about a lesson from it, but they didn't say, and then I came out, and then there was an article written about me, and then people reacted.
Yeah, that's a great point. It is not like that, or it is. Because if somebody who's not done it before, you're going to say, write a letter to yourself, and they're going to go, okay, so I was born, and then I went here.
It's not a biography. And so it's more important to hit highlights of your life that taught you something. And if there is a really big thing that happened, I mean, the best example I can think of is one I'm working on right now, so I probably shouldn't talk about it. But that would be good to put into your letter. But there's a lot that we can do to insert things to help tell the story. So if there was something you did that was newsmaking, you know, there's going to be a news report about it or a headline or something, and we can insert that to help tell your story. And then we hear from you, you know, the lesson or what you learned that you're telling your younger self about that. I mean, the most important thing is it needs to have some biography in it, but if it's only a biography, it's not a note to self and it's not as interesting.
What makes it really fascinating, for example, is tying a theme to the story, to the note to self. In other words, at one point I see he says, just breathe.
So again, breathe. Really, breathe.
And then you use script. You actually use graphics to show the word breathe. And towards the end of it, he says breathe again, and then you see it pop up. And so you can think about that and what that means in the larger sense of his life.
Yeah, I think the lessons that people write about or the advice, those are the things that people take away. And those, you know, the more of those that you can give, like I said before, those draw you in, and that's what people connect with.
As a producer, this is Ryan's story, but it is told through your lens. And you are not supposed to be part of it, but you are, because it's, you know, you're the one who takes it to the finished piece, and when we see it on the air, it's clearly through your efforts and that of the editor. When you're thinking about it, when you were thinking specifically about how to produce Ryan's piece, what did you want people to think about when you started working on it?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think the most important thing was he was being incredibly revealing and honest, and I wanted to honor that. And I wanted to make sure that we told a story and, you know, treated it like with the respect it deserved, but also made sure that people knew who he was and, you know, gave it some perspective. You know, one of the things along this line that, you know, as a producer, you have control over is the music. So these pieces have music. And depending on the kind of music you use, it can wildly change the tone. And so one of the things we often do is we'll ask somebody. So for Kesha, she has her own music. So obviously you use her music. But when you're producing something, you often ask somebody what music they like. Or I know for John Lewis, the producer, Dana thought about music that was popular at various times in his life that were relevant.
Well, it was such a beautiful piece. I encourage everybody to go and look at all of these, but that one in particular.
Sometimes there's a really obvious sort of music, or there's obvious music it's screaming for. In his case, there wasn't. And so I asked him, and he's like, I listen to everything from like rock to country to opera. And I was like, okay. So I happen to be a very similar age to him. So I thought about what I listened to in my teen years when I was real angsty for no reason. And I kind of went back to that and those bands and that music. And then I basically divided the script into chapters and said, okay, this is sort of like starting out. This is working hard, like where he's talking about football. This is, you know, a darker time, sort of spinning out of control. This is more a turning point, and looked for music that fit within that. And the other thing is you're looking for orchestral or just instrumental version. So sometimes you're using a well-known song, but you're only using the first 15 seconds because that's the part where there's no lyrics. And I thought about music that way. And then luckily our editor, again, has a really great ear. So I might pull 10 options or something for each chapter. And then we go through and we listen and we decide. We're like, oh, that works. No, that doesn't. Sometimes the timing doesn't work. But that's another way that you can really impact the tone of a letter. In that sense, you have a lot of control, because it would be so different, this letter, if you can imagine, if we do the whole thing with country or rap,
right,
as opposed to what we did, which is sort of, you know, rock, emo rock, indie rock, a little bit of hard rock, but you know, would be really, or if we did it with classical music, it right. would be completely different. So yeah, Just depends.
For me, watching this piece, I just thought, I hope that there are young athletes out there, high school kids, elementary school kids, or however old you may be, that feel that you don't have a recourse, or you don't know who to talk to, or you don't know if anybody is going through what you're going through, or feeling the things that you're feeling, or being confronted with people who might be saying things like what he heard. I can't imagine a little kid, you know, hearing family and friends using language. Yeah.
I think the best thing sort of to take away from this is as soon as he started talking to people and opening up, things got better. It's like, just try telling one person that you trust, if you have, you know, a secret or something that you're terrified of, because if it's somebody you trust and they love you, then, you know, they'll probably support you. And, you know, just telling that one person initially, you know, opened up his world to all these other things. And I mean, we're lucky because, like we said, he had a plan to take his own life. And luckily he told somebody, they said, so what? Like, I still love you. You're the same dude. Don't worry about it. Like, and now he's living this like great life, you know, and he has a whole sort of second chapter, and it's really exciting to hear, and he's happy.
Just hang in there a little longer, buddy. One day people will look up to you for your strength.
Thank you for listening. You can watch the full CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station.
Or you can stream it live on the CBS All Access app.
For more information, please visit cbsthismorning.com.